Shanti. So good morning once again. Welcome. And we are very, very fortunate to have with us Jayanti Didiji, who is with us today for this topic on meditation to calm the busy mind and lead an easy life. And Jayanti Didi is an embodiment of that, because as the additional administrative head of Brahma Kumaris, you can imagine how much the expanse of services that would be there. And Didi travels both abroad and in India, and serves many people. Didi is an epitome of expertise and spiritual knowledge and power, which is visible in her simple presence, angelic presence, and with her simple words, Didi enlightens the lives of many. And so, when I said we're fortunate, I really mean we're fortunate, because Didi is continuously traveling and the dates coincided, and so, or was pre-planned, I don't know, but definitely we're fortunate to have Didi's presence with us here today. And so, once again, I request the people sitting at the back, brothers and sisters, please come in front so that you will be able to enjoy the experience much better. Thank you so much, Jayanti Didiji.
Om Shanti. You have to congratulate yourself for giving yourself time and space to be here, because I know that life has so many things and it's difficult to make choices, but you made the choice of coming here and giving yourself that time, so you're very, very lucky. I want to share a meeting I had with somebody many years ago. It's a woman who had just received the prize for positive psychology in terms of progress. And it was the Templeton Prize, if anything equivalent to the Nobel Prize, but the Templeton Prize. And as we were sitting together chatting, I asked her the question, how come we never used to hear about positive psychology until recently? I think it would have been just about in the 80s or even later that I came across that term. And she laughed and she said, well, if you think about the way things have developed in terms of technology, what sort of technology did we have at the end of the 19th century? It was very basic and crude. And so the only things that people could actually measure at that time were things that had a big impact. And so negative psychology was more of the picture. If you think about anger, and anger comes like a sledgehammer and it knocks you out for quite a while. Or you think about jealousy or any of the other negative emotions, then you can see the big impact they have. And so she said people like Freud and others at the end of the 19th century were exploring all these things of consciousness. It was a very new study. Rishis and Munis had studied it millennia, but in terms of Western psychology, it was very new. And so it was easy to measure the negative emotions and feelings and the impact. But it's only in recent times that we've been able to measure the subtle aspects of feelings and emotions. And all positive feelings and emotions are highly subtle. But also, because they're subtle, they can come and go very quickly, and so it's difficult to capture them and measure these things. And so when you think about peace, one moment you're peaceful and the next moment you hear something, you see something, and it goes instantly. If I'm angry, it's not that shifts instantly in the same way. Even if you've got a loving child who comes up to you and wants a cuddle or a kiss, and it takes you time to let go of your anger and accept the love that the child is giving you before you can return that love. So you can see the point that negative emotions and feelings are heavy and they last long, and positive feelings and emotions are subtle and they're fleeting. And this is why positive psychology only came on the scene decades ago, not more than that. And then I also asked her, out of all your experiments and research, what are the things that can create a lasting impact so that a person does have positive feelings and emotions? Because of course negative feelings and emotions have an impact not just on the mind, but also on the body. You know that, you feel it, you've been there. But also, in terms of relationships, again, we've all been through that, but also in terms of your work efficiency, also in terms of your social impact and influence. So on every level, in every sphere of life, when there's negative feelings and emotions, things definitely go into decline. And when there are positive feelings and emotions, things rise again on every level, not just the mind, but also the body, relationships, work, the quality of work, the creativity at work, and also relationships in terms of teams, and also the impact that you contribute in terms of what you give back to society. All of that is connected with positive feelings and emotions. So my question to her, what is it that can create positive feelings and emotions and sustain them for the period of time that you would like to have? And she knew the answer instantly, and it was one word, and that was meditation. And it's a fact. You can have chocolate if you're an addict, and it creates a good feeling. It has, in a natural way, cocoa has certain ingredients that create that sense of well-being and good feelings. And so you can have some chocolate and it'll make you feel good. Carry on having chocolate. And there's definitely a reverse effect. And if you've had too much chocolate, then you don't want to look at chocolate again. Until, of course, tomorrow. But this is the thing, that anything external, it might be music, it might be nature, it might be some type of food or beverage, but all of that reaches a peak and then there's a decline. But meditation, continue with your meditation, start with 5 minutes, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, and I won't go further than that, but yes, there are yogis who can meditate for many hours, and there are certain yogis like Dadi Janki who used to say, she passed away a few years ago, aged 104. So she used to say, ask me how long I don't meditate. And it's true, in her presence you could feel that it was always a very, very high state of consciousness. And so what is it about meditation that creates these good feelings and positive feelings and then impacts everything in your life in a very positive direction? It's because meditation is not just working on the level of the mind, but meditation is actually allowing the highest and the deepest qualities that are innate within the soul, within your very core being, to emerge and be expressed. So meditate for 10 minutes and you begin to feel peaceful. Meditate for longer, and the longer you meditate the more peaceful you become, but also you're able to impact the atmosphere, your rays are able to reach out and impact other people, but not just people, animals, every form of life, nature itself. I'll give you the example of Gyan's River. Long story, but the essence, when we acquired it, it was because the milk families who lived here said that the land had become infertile and the cows weren't getting enough food, and so they were going to have to move. They'd been here for a long time, but they couldn't carry on here anymore, and so they came to see if we would take the land, which we did. And once the construction was done, then we looked at what else remained, and they started planting things. And this morning as I was driving in, I could see the beautiful flowers just at the entrance of Gyan's River. And maybe you've had a chance to walk around the back part, but you'll see lots of trees and lots of plantations of various things. And they realized that just within a few years of meditation, they hadn't done anything else, just the meditation, all the land that was still available had actually become fertile. And if you come back around June, you'll see lots of mangoes, lots of other fruits. And if you go then to Janki Park here and up the hill, you'll see lychees, apricots, apples, everything. And not just a handful, but kilos and kilos and kilos of fruits and vegetables. So what happened to the infertile land? Yeah, vibrations can change everything, including the quality of the soil and the way that plants grow and produce whatever it is we may need. And I've got several other stories like that about nature, but enough just to tell you about what's happening right here where you are at the moment. And so positive feelings and emotions are very important. And meditation's able to reach deeper than just feelings, because there's something deep within the soul itself that gets triggered through vibrations or through conscious awareness. I was in a gathering of about 2,000 for several days, our annual general meeting of teachers that was taking place in our big campus at the bottom of the mountain. And it was a full-on meeting. But I'd walk into the hall, and we usually begin everything with meditation, of course. And without any effort on my part, I would just feel myself being pulled into a very deep, beautiful experience of, let me use the word yoga. Yoga means union of the self with the divine. And so I just, without trying to focus or trying to concentrate, just the atmosphere of so many yogis, all in meditation, and I'd get pulled into deep meditation. Instantly, literally. And so whether it's from vibrations or whether it's your own conscious effort to still the mind and move away from all the external turmoil and go deep within the self, meditation works. And it's the only thing that works long term, not just a few moments of good feeling, but a state that can be enhanced every single time you give it attention and focus. Deeper than feelings are the samskaras, the imprints that the soul carries. And at the moment we carry a mixed bunch of imprints, some good samskaras and some not so good. And that's true of absolutely everyone. But there are certain situations and certain things that we do that trigger the not so good sanskaras. And then the other way, there are things that we can understand and learn and practice that can reach the original innate sanskaras. The original innate sanskaras are five. There's peace, there's love, there's truth, there's joy, and there's purity. Five. But these five are like the basic primary colors. You have four primary colors, and you mix them and a bit more of this, a bit less of this, and you get the whole spectrum of the rainbow. In the same way, these five basic innate qualities of the soul and the combination of one and two and three, and you get all the different values that are the positive values of human civilization. And why life seems to be more difficult today than it was even 50 years ago in my own lifetime, 70 years ago, is because we've forgotten to connect with the innermost qualities that we carry, and we live life on a very superficial level, very materialistic level. And the sanskaras that get triggered by materialism, consumerism, and external things are not those original beautiful sanskaras. They're the sanskaras of irritation, of anger, of greed, and all the negative things that we're surrounded by. And so definitely the negativity generally in the world has increased tremendously. I cannot believe that we are witnessing what we are witnessing in Israel, Gaza, and Ukraine, Russia. And the amazing thing about the Brahma Kumaris is that we have Israelis who are meditators, we have Palestinians who are meditators. We don't have a center in Palestine, but we have many centers in Israel. And again, we have centers in Russia and centers in Ukraine. So we get to hear the personal stories of what's going on in all of these places. And so then it's not just what you're reading on the internet or on the printed page, but you're actually hearing the stories from the heart. We had a group of 17 Israelis who were here from the 22nd of February through to early March. And by destiny, it was a window when people could leave and go back. So they managed to capture that. Today, Israelis can't leave at the moment. So destiny brought them here, all of them long-term meditators. And the stories they shared touch your heart, but equally people on the other side. But the point is that what has happened to human beings that all these things can actually happen? And it's humans who are creating all of this, whether it's the environment or whether it's politics, it's humans. The simple answer is we've forgotten to connect with ourselves. And when we begin to spend even a little bit of time in silence and go on that inner journey, we're able to connect with the original qualities of the soul. And every human soul carries these beautiful qualities. And so one is to go on that inner journey and find that peace that we all carry within the soul. But the other is to connect with the divine. Abroad, or at least in Western Europe, I wouldn't be able to bring the subject of God within the first few minutes of meeting people. But here in Bharat, it's much easier. But even here, the climate is changing rapidly. And of course, that's because we very often don't get answers to the questions that we have about God. Age 8, my parents moved to London when I was, and then growing up there, age 14, I remember saying to my mother, who was a Raj Yogi, she was a meditator, I saying to her, you know, I'm not sure there is a God or not. And she was wise enough not to try and convince me. It was wisdom. And then she said, okay, you'll find out for yourself. And again, destiny, that I came to spend a long stretch of time in India rather than 3 weeks holiday. So when I came to spend a long time in India when I was 18, just the atmosphere of India, and maybe in the 60s it was a bit different. There were no shopping malls. You couldn't buy foreign goods here. Very different India in the 60s. But at that time, the atmosphere of India triggered something within me. And I knew that Janki, because through my mother, I knew the Brahma Kumari since childhood. I went knocking on Dadi Janki's door. She was in Pune where my grandmother lived. I was with my granny. And she said to me, very happy to see me. She hadn't seen me for a while. Do you want to say something or shall I say something? I said, Dadi, I've come to listen. And she spoke about conscience. And she spoke about how the conscience has been influenced by so many different things. Media, society, friends, and as a result of that, there's no clarity, and we don't know what is right and what is wrong anymore. And she had felt my pulse, not physically, spiritually, and that's exactly where I was at. There was the permissive society, this was by then 1968. So the permissive society had started, there was Western society, there was general Indian society, and then there was my mother, very spiritual. So there were all these different things in front of me, and I had no idea which is the path I would like to travel. So she absolutely felt the pulse and talked to me about what was going on. In a very conscious way, and I hadn't even touched that which was subconscious within me. And so she's talking about these things, and I say, well, how do we change that? And she says, meditate. And so I started my meditation course the same day. And 6 weeks later, I knew that this is to be my life, and I haven't changed my mind since. And so, yes, part of the calming effect of meditation is that there's clarity. When there isn't clarity and many thoughts and thoughts of confusion come very quickly, and it's the same thing with the negative feelings as negative thoughts, confusion, fear, anger, once the train has left the station, you can't stop it. It's racing, absolutely racing. And so you have to learn to think about what you're going to think. Not just think about what you see or what you say and what you hear, but about what you're thinking. Because your thinking is going to take you off in all sorts of avenues. And so when I don't know right from wrong, because of all these myriad influences, very difficult to keep the mind calm. And of course, we love speed. You pay a lot of money for your high-speed computer, right? You pay a lot of money if you want a fast car. Speed and modern life is very connected and we pay a high price for it. But we've forgotten that the big price we're paying is actually what's happening with the mind. My mind races and it's so easy to come to the wrong conclusions. Has that happened to anyone? Thank you for your honesty. Some have raised your hands, but it's happened to most of us at some point. I jump to the wrong conclusions, the wrong decisions, and oh, there's a problem. And it wasn't there before. I actually created it because at a certain point there were choices, but I didn't make my choice in good time. And so the negativity of the atmosphere took me off in another direction. And so the need for calm in the mind is to be able to deal with making myself so strong, so resilient, that the outside world doesn't impact me. But I'm connected with my own innate qualities, and that is able to impact everything else. And think about a boat. And when a boat is on the shore, it's okay. But it's not meant to be on the shore. It's meant to be in the water. That was its purpose of existence. And then when it's in the water, it's fine for it to be in the water, but it's not fine for the water to be in it. A little hole, the water starts coming inside the boat, and you know what's going to happen. And so the soul is here in the world, in the body. We are meant to be living life. And so it's not a question of leaving the world and sitting on a mountaintop or in a cave. But we're meant to be here, in action, in life, in connection, relationships. But if the world gets inside of me, there's a problem. Why do I have insomnia? Why do I have high blood pressure? And all the many, many ailments that come from stress and pressure. You know the answer. I've let the world get inside of me instead of I being on top of the world and on top of myself. And so meditation is the method to be able to make the inside world so strong, so resilient, so powerful, building capacity. We use this expression a lot about building capacity. We're talking about external things usually. But real capacity building starts here. And so as I meditate, I'm building capacity within myself so that I'm able to maintain that state of peace, of truth, of love, whatever else is going on around me. And you'll begin to feel it, you'll begin to see it happen very, very quickly. Things that used to irritate you before, and a few days of meditation, and you'll say, it's okay, it's out there, I'm the master of what's going on inside, and you'll be able to detach and smile. That doesn't mean lack of compassion, rather it means more compassion. But it means compassion with equality, not just compassion for one side and not the other side, but compassion for all. And so building capacity spiritually means that I'm moving forward in my life by enhancing those inner qualities that I know I carry. Everybody's had that moment of peace, that moment of truth, but doesn't last long. So now what meditation is doing is building it up so that it becomes more and more natural for me to connect with that rather than the influences and the acquired sanskars. I've acquired a lot of sanskars along my journey that were not originally mine, but they've gradually built up. And so now, by meditating, I'm tapping into my own inner resources, allowing them to emerge and be expressed more and more, so that the influence of the acquired sanskars is reduced. And there comes a moment when you say, you know, I wouldn't have been able to keep smiling. This would have impacted me so deeply that the effect would have lasted for days, maybe for years, even sometimes. But today, I'm able to be the observer and watch what's going on and know what I need to do. There's a difference between responding accurately to others and reacting to others. And what's the percentage that goes on in my life at this moment? Is the percentage high on responding or reacting? Usually that's the case. And we're taught instant responses, which is fine if it's a life and death threat on an external level. But if it's a considered response to another human being or a situation that's not instant life and death, it's something that needs to be more measured and deeply understood. So if at that moment I'm just reacting, I'm breaking relationships, I'm causing a lot of reactivity on the other. You say something, I react, probably you react, and the back and forth goes on. And the imprint on the inner being is that that becomes my tendency. And the more I allow it, the more it carries on and gets worse. So as you go on in your life, it's not that you get wiser as you get older. The negative sanskars get stronger. That's the reality. And you'll see it all around you if you look around. So let me stop there. Instead of reacting, let me have a proper response. That is responsibility, the ability to respond in an appropriate manner. And so can I respond? And that means I need to process. And the processing isn't hours, the processing is quick. Because the processing is just one little switch. Instead of looking at things from the external perspective, just go back here. And how long does it take to press a switch, to press a button? One click. Same thing. Go in, click, connect with the soul, and your response is going to be more peaceful, more real, sincere, filled with love, filled with compassion. And the feedback you get from whatever you're doing to yourself tells you whether you're on track or you're off track. If I say things and it's repeating, repeating, repeating in my mind, that's the lesson. That's not what I should have done or said. If I've said something which is correct, I've dealt with it, I move on. It doesn't repeat in my mind. And so if you find something you've said and done repeating in your mind, take that as a caution, warning bell, and check out what was it that was motivating you to say that or do that. And you'll probably find it was not something very elevated, very pure. But you've done something connected with the inner being and your own innate qualities. You can keep moving on. You don't need to stop and keep backtracking. Which is why time gets extended. So often, a lot of our time is spent in the past, and it takes up a huge amount of space in here, but also in our life. And so, meditation means keeping track of what's going on in my thoughts, my awareness, my feelings, my attitude, and allowing that inner peace and truth to more and more come to the surface so that my immediate response is based on that rather than the acquired tendencies or the influence that you or others are projecting onto me. Out of all the souls, you can see that every single soul is unique and different. Even twins. Facially, they might look the same, but their personalities are different for sure. And so every individual soul, and every soul with different qualities and capacities, and out of all these souls, there's one soul who is the supreme, because there's unlimited peace and love and truth, because that soul, that one soul, is not part of the cycle of birth and death. And that soul is given the name, the supreme, or God, the source, divine, whatever choose, name you choose is fine. But in meditation, instead of thinking about this one, this one, this one, I'm thinking about the one, the supreme, the divine. And I use my mind very consciously to create that awareness of peace within myself, connecting with the source of peace. And the connection is wireless. And we're drawing from the source and filling ourselves with that. And then we too can become instruments to share that peace. So it's very logical, very simple, and I just have to do it to be able to see the value of it and the truth of it. You know, there are some things that you can hear about. I can tell you mangoes are sweet. But if you've never had a mango, you'll say, you know, as a child in England, we didn't have mangoes there. You didn't have this business of importing, exporting fruit and veg across the oceans. So the children around me didn't know about mangoes. When I said, I'm missing mangoes, they didn't know what I was talking about. And they said, well, how sweet is it? Like a cherry? Like an apple? No, no, something else. But you need to have tasted it before you can talk about it. Same way, meditation, I can talk and talk and talk about it, but when you do it yourself, and it's very simple, when you do it, then you're able to feel the benefit of it for your own life. And the technique, first step, go inwards, come to the awareness of the soul, go upwards, connect with the divine. Just through your thoughts, whatever you think about, that's the influence that will come to you. It happens in everything. But now you're thinking about the source of peace, of truth and love. And so those qualities come to you and you are absorbing those qualities and it's opening up that which is there latent within you. You know, the seed has everything within itself, but it's only when the sun shines and the soil is right, the water is right, then the seed can germinate and blossom. Same thing, the right time, the right atmosphere, and my own thoughts, connecting with the divine so that that energy from the source reaches me and that which is within me can awaken and emerge in my life once more. So the thoughts that I have about myself, to come to that awareness of who I truly am. And the thoughts about God, the qualities of God, the relationship with the divine, the experience, the experience of who God is. And the connection means that that energy will flow, and I am transformed through that influence. We all have an influence on each other. And the influence on each other can be good, not so good. But when it's the influence of the divine, then that which is positive within myself emerges and is enhanced. So the process of meditation is simply moving my thoughts in the right direction. No mantra, no magic potion, not even a posture, just sitting comfortably, not even closing your eyes. Why? I want to be able to meditate as I walk. Can I do that with my eyes closed? Well, that would be a danger to myself and others. And so I need to find a mechanism whereby I can keep everything flowing, my eyes are open, I'm not cutting myself off from anything, but whilst I'm doing whatever I'm doing, I can keep my awareness connected to the highest. This is why we meditate with eyes open. I think when you walk into a Brahma Kumaris gathering and you see people meditating, you expect they'll be sitting with eyes closed, they'll be sitting in a special posture, and here you don't see any of that. And that's because the training is keep your eyes open. And at first it seems more difficult because your eyes tend to create thoughts connected to the world out here. But now, we're training ourselves to be aware and to look at anyone around us with that same vision. Don't see anything else. Just see the light that's shining in their forehead. And just that simple exercise changes the quality of our interaction with each other. That's simple. And so in meditation, I sit comfortably, not so comfortable that I fall asleep, but comfortable and alert, so that the body is no more a distraction. But I turn my attention here, connecting there. And just simply moving my thoughts in the right direction. And because the speed of pure thoughts isn't that fast speed, the mind automatically slows down. And when you make that connection and you start feeling it, the mind actually can experience thought and silence. Thought and silence. But the experience of silence becomes longer and longer, because you're in that experience. You know how if you've had a good sleep, when you're sleeping you don't say, this is a good sleep. It's afterwards you say, that was a good sleep. So when I'm meditating and in that experience of God's love, of light, of power, I don't need to put a label on it. I'm just in that experience. And afterwards I say, that's what it was. So the connection with the divine, I'm using my mind. And once the mind has made contact, then the mind begins to be still, and deeper silence is experienced. But It doesn't happen in a day. It can, but not usually. But it does happen with practice. Just as with anything and everything in life, practice. And so, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and beginning the day with that time for the self is perfect, because it prepares you for the whole day. But not just the meditation, but connected with the meditation is spiritual study, reading material that is going to feed your mind nourishing thoughts. What am I feeding my mind the rest of the time? At the best, it's mundane, related to the things of this world. And less than that is waste, where I'm having wasteful thoughts that are of no relevance or negative. So negativity goes, the mundane goes, waste goes, and I'm focused on the pure and the elevated, not just in meditation, but if I've also been feeding my mind in the morning, listening to things, reading things that are going to be nourishing for the spirit, then those ideas stay with me and become the compass for the rest of the day. And so instead of going off track, I stay true in the direction that I would like to go in. What I suggest is that the next few moments are ones of meditation, so that instead of just the theory, you experiment and experience. And there's a third word, inwards, upwards, and then outwards. Whatever I've experienced in my meditation is then reflected in my life. So, three words to remember: inwards, upwards, outwards. I'll speak out my own thoughts as I reflect and invite you to follow these ideas. And I'm sure there'll be lots of questions, but I won't get into that now. I'm sure you'll have other sessions where your questions will be answered. So let's just stay with the experience for this period of time. No music. Sitting quietly, I let the body relax. I feel my shoulders relaxing, my back, my face, and I focus on the light that I am. Om, I am the inner being, the soul. And in this awareness of the world within, I go deeper and deeper within myself, and I find that space deep within that there is peace. My thoughts slow down, and I focus on peace. And in this awareness, I can feel the presence of the divine, the source, the supreme. from this being of light, the Supreme. Rays of peace reach the soul. I absorb this within myself. And these rays not only touch me, these rays spread out into the atmosphere and touch everyone around. These rays extend out beyond this gathering, beyond these walls, and reach out further. The rays of peace reach out to all forms of life. And they become calm, knowing they are safe, and the rays of peace reach out to nature itself, and then further out to the earth, the air, the water, ether, and sky. And the rays of peace surround our planet and everything within the planet. I keep this connection with the Divine and come back to the physical dimension. But I keep this peace and I hold this awareness of who I am. I am the light, sharing peace. Thank you for your attention. Have a very good day. Om Shanti.